I thought we would stay in the book of Ruth for our thinking about graduating seniors. And so turn with me to the book of Ruth, to chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Ruth, beginning with verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her daughter, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept back some. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young man, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also, let some grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen. We're focusing on the surprising providence of God this morning as we think about graduates, but this text has applicability to more than those who are only graduates as we think about how God surprises us with His providence. You remember the story from chapter 1, And then we move to chapter 2, and it's surprising. All of us like, at some point or other, to be surprised. Do you remember a time when perhaps you had a birthday party and you came into the room and everybody jumped out and yelled, "Surprise!" And so you were. I read a book several years ago by a Swiss psychiatrist called The Meaning of Gifts. And in this book, he talks about whether you're 13 or 30 or 90, all of us like the pleasure of receiving gifts. Not just gifts, though, but gifts that have to be wrapped. Gifts that have to be in some kind of covering that we can unravel, because as we anticipate the surprise, that's part of the pleasure in receiving a gift. And we like surprises. I had a wife this past week with whom I was talking, who told her husband that what she likes for him to do for her is to write her little surprise notes and to call her unexpectedly from the office and to do some special things for her. I remember when my children were small. We have three daughters, and I would be leaving on a trip and pack my bags. I would get to my destination. I would open my suitcase and take out some underwear, and a note would drop out where either my wife or one of the children had surprised me with some other special gift or memento. In chapter 1 of Ruth, we have a sad story. And what we want to look at is the way God's surprising providence worked in the lives of three people. God's providence and His surprise with Ruth, with Boaz, and with Naomi. It is extraordinary what happens, because you remember in chapter 1, how Naomi went to Moab because they were hungry, and so they lived there until her husband died, Elimelech, and then her sons Malon and Chilion also died. Her sons had married two Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. Orpah stayed, but Naomi came back to Bethlehem. And when she came back to Bethlehem, the women of Bethlehem came out. "Oh, that is Naomi." And she said, "Don't call me Naomi, that is pleasant. Call me Mara, bitter, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me." And so you would expect at the end of chapter 1 a continued type story of misery, but even God is full of surprises, as we've said, and He is a good writer, because then when you come to chapter 1, verse 2, and keep your Bibles open, it says this, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth." Now that was unsuspected. Here she has lost everything. She has lost her family. She is poor. She is destitute. She has no home. And that is the end of chapter 1. But in this magnificent book, chapter 2 begins, "And Boaz was a man, a near kinsman of great wealth." And so the writer tantalizes us with the possibilities at this point. And so what we look at first is God's providence and Ruth, then God's providence and Boaz, and God's providence and Naomi. First, think about God's providence, His surprising providence, and Ruth. We've already related the story. Ruth suggested, because they were so hungry, they were homeless. Isn't it great that at Covenant Church that we have a ministry to homeless people? Did you know that? Did you know that we have homeless people who come and who live in the church building for a period of time? The ladies prepare meals for them, and then they go to another church and stay for a while. Well, here is Ruth and Naomi until verse 2, where it became apparent that something needed to be done. And so Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him." She didn't know what she was doing. She didn't know where to go. She had never heard of Boaz. But she was not too proud to do anything when her back was against the wall. This idea of the poor gleaning in the field comes from Leviticus, where in the book of Leviticus, God says that the people of Israel are to leave the barley, the wheat, whatever is in the field on the ground so that the poor can come along and pick it up and have something to eat. And that is the story that is going on right now in chapter 2 with Ruth, who is going in the barley field. You know, circumstances have a way of revealing a person's character. I mean, I think of Job 23, where Job says, "Behold, I go forward and he is not there." That's God. "I look on the right hand where he hides himself and cannot behold him, and on the left hand where he works and I cannot see him." But then he says, "But God knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And so there is this chord and this strain throughout Scripture that the hard times will reveal the character of the person. It was true of Job, and it is no less true of Ruth. I think it was Calvin who said that he who is ashamed of what he does have will be proud of what he does not have, or vice versa. Let me say that again. He who is ashamed of what he does not have will be proud of what he does have. In other words, if a person is ashamed of an Escort, then he will be proud of a BMW. And what God is saying is that we are to be at such a point in our lives that whatever God is doing where we are, that we do not feel either shame or pride, but we're willing to do whatever God calls us to do. And Ruth, what a woman. Ruth was willing to do anything. Look at verse 3. It says this, "Then she left and went and gleaned in the field and after the reapers, and she happened to come." I call this the accidental providence of God. Isn't this an interesting phrase? We would use the term, "Wasn't it lucky?" Now listen, I am a Presbyterian, and I believe that God has all things planned, ordained. It's called His decree from the foundation of the world, and God knows the end from the beginning. But sometimes in our own individual experiences, it feels as if accidents are taking place, when in fact, God is actually supervising, superintending, and guiding the events of this life. And so here in Ruth's own life, she didn't know what to do. But we can be sure, based on the psalmist says that the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered by the Lord. So God knows what He's doing, and He is also ordering the steps of those who are following after Him. And so what appears to be to Ruth a sheer happenstance, where she appears in a barley field outside Bethlehem, God's providence is working to guide out of all the universe of people, two people to find each other. And that is, there is Ruth picking up grain off the ground. But she was there at the right time. She met the right person. It was the right circumstances. It is amazing. Isn't it amazing how God thinks of everything, even romance? Do you see what's happening? Here is this poor family. They are up to here in debt and they have no alternative. But then here God provides what is called the kinsman redeemer. The Goel, and it comes from the book of Deuteronomy, where a close relative is supposed, if a brother dies, then another brother is to come and take the place of that brother, marry the widow, and produce children for an inheritance for that brother. Do you see what is anticipated here, right here in this man Boaz? What is anticipated is one who became our kinsman redeemer, one to whom we owe a price, a great debt, one against whom we have sinned. And we deserve to die. We deserve to die physically and spiritually and emotionally and relationally in every way. We deserve to die eternally because of our debt. And yet our Boaz, our elder brother, became our kinsman redeemer. And he took upon himself all of our debt. Things spoken, things not spoken. Things in the past, things in the present. Things in the future, things for all eternity. This elder brother, whose name is Jesus, became for you your redeemer. Wow! What anticipation! This story has an application 1,200 years later. And so here's this man, this businessman. Do you notice that also in this passage that we read about Boaz, that his religion was something that was not Sunday morning? You know, there are some people, I'm afraid it's true, who wear a Sunday morning religious hat, and then they wear a Monday morning go-to-work hat. They wear a Friday night celebration hat. They have hats for different things. But here was a man of such integrity that he wore the same hat in the workplace. This is not a priest. This is not a prophet. This is not a king. He was a businessman. And going to the workplace, he says, God bless you. And he says, the Lord provide for you. He brings his faith into what he's doing, as is the challenge for every person in school, every college student, every businessman, that we do not simply confine our faith to Sunday, but that it becomes a part of everything that we do. And here was Boaz doing just that. I said he was a gentleman. It reminds us of Matthew 21:5, where it says that Jesus was gentle and he came riding upon a donkey. Isaiah 42:3, the bruised reed he will not break, and the dimly smoking wick he will not quench. The Lord Jesus will not break you. He will never snuff out your faith. He is so gentle. Isn't it interesting that some of the wealthiest and the most powerful people are in fact the kindest and the most gentle? I think sometimes that people who are rude, people who act as if they have to control everything, they must not actually have any security and any power. You know, one of the most powerful men I've ever known physically was a man who was a weightlifter. And he had the biggest back of any human being. I mean, his back. I walked behind him one time. I mean, I had to take two steps sideways to look around. It was huge. I introduced this man one time in a high school auditorium here in the state of Alabama. I invited him to be the speaker. I introduced him. Weightlifter. He demonstrated his weights before he talked to the kids. He was a believer. And he would reach down and he put 500 pounds on the weights. And so I introduced him and I went and sat down. And then as he came up to the weights, he stopped and he whispered to me. He said, "Sometimes when I lift this much weight, I pass out. And so what I want you to do is to come behind me and catch me." I sat there and I watched him, or stood behind him as he was lifting that weight, and I was praying, "Oh Jesus, don't let him pass out. This man was so huge, he would have crushed me to death." But he was one of the most gentle human beings, men. He was powerful. He had nothing to prove and nobody to impress. I think that was like Boaz here. And so God's providence brought these two people together in a barley field in Bethlehem, and they met, and his eye caught hers, and her eye caught his. And then you could have concluded, the writer could have concluded that story, that they lived happily ever after. But there's another person. And so that's not the end of the story. But God's providence and Naomi. You know, Naomi returned, and we didn't read that, but that was in verses 19 through 22. Ruth returned and communicated what had happened. Naomi recognized God's providence. Look at verse 20 if you have your Bible open. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "The man is a relative of ours, one of our near kinsmen, our kinsman redeemer." You see, Naomi had lost her husband, her sons, her wealth. But God, now listen to this, because this is important. God compensated Naomi. You can't replace somebody who's died. You can't replace the disappointments. You can't simply do away with all the bad memories and the bad things that have happened. But men and women, you can do this. You can allow God to comfort you. That is your best hope for the future. If you will allow God to compensate, that was God's surprise to these people. They were devastated. And yet God compensated Naomi with Ruth, and Naomi with Boaz, and Ruth with Boaz, and vice versa. What a story. You see, God may be compensating you right now if you have the faith to see it. Because if you don't have the faith, you'll miss it. God may be so full of surprises, and maybe you're in the midst of some struggle, some hardship right now, but let me tell you, there are surprises in store. I don't know what they are. Psalm 77 says, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." You try to figure God out. You try to predict what God is going to do, and you make a fool of yourself. Okay? But what you can do is that you can believe in a God who is full of surprises for you. And that's true for those who are graduating. You don't know who you're going to meet, You don't know what the future holds necessarily, but you can be sure of this. God has surprises. And even in the midst of your struggle and your disappointments and your hardship, God will come through and He will be to you in this life. And sometimes it's not obvious. Certainly in the life to come. If you're a Christian this morning, there is a verse in 1 Corinthians 2 that I want to leave with you, and it is this: eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love Him, who believe in Him. Did you hear me? Whatever you're going through, whatever struggle, disappointment, it can't be compared with what will be there. And if you're not a Christian, there's another kind of surprise waiting for you. I bet you thought I was going to say hell. I've got the greatest surprise in the world for you if you are not a Christian today. Do you know what the surprise is? The surprise is this. God, in the person of His Son, loves you, and He is your elder brother, and He is your Redeemer, and He is willing to take you to pay, having paid all the debt of sin. If you come and you trust Him as your Savior. Now, isn't that a great surprise? Did you think you were going to get that surprise when you came to church today? It is the greatest surprise of all, and what is more, God has even more surprises for you for the next day, and next year, in 5 years, in 20 years, full of surprises. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the fact that You are a God of surprises, that You did take care of this family in the way that You did with Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. We thank You for the ultimate and grand surprise of providing the cross of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, for those this morning who have never really opened and embraced this gift, that the surprise may be for them the joy and the forgiveness of sin that they can have, be free from the past, the present, and joy in the future, because they embrace their Redeemer Christ who died for them on the cross. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.